Part 20, Chapter 7. Lars Thorensen had taken every precaution. He had gone over it very carefully. If there was no public display of arms and guards, while making sure that this Tyler was thoroughly covered at all times by adequate weaponry, then no alert would go out, and no misguided friends of this felon would come pouring around to rescue him. Lars had left guards in the car, had let no other Brigantes appear on the streets or openly in corridors, had sent word to the commando now posted at the compound to keep out of sight but ready, and not to shoot unless attacked. He had a little surprise for this Tyler at the compound, but all should go smoothly and well. He thought even Hitler would have approved of the tactical skills Lars was displaying. They would pick up the horses, drive up through the pass to the meadow, order this Tyler to go into his own house, and that would be that. The scourge and menace to the stability of the state would be ended, thoroughly and with no blame at all to the council. The day had gone gray. The sun was more and more overcast. The wind was picking up, and the billows of dust and clouds of dead grass were running before the approaching storm. Lars's driving was not all that good to begin with, and gusts were buffeting the ground car, swerving it from already badly chosen courses. He was not driving fast. Johnny was considering his chances. He had no idea they intended to let him out of this alive, for all their smooth assurances. What point of that plaster cast, if hit, would finish the job of breaking this traitor's neck? How familiar were these two evil-smelling Brigantes with a Thompson submachine gun? The weapon, deadly though it was, had been obsolete for a century at the time of the Cyclo attack. It fired pistol ammunition that was too heavy for a handheld automatic weapon, and caused it to kick upward furiously so that you had to hold the muzzle down with great force. These weapons they had were not equipped with cuts compensators that used some of the muzzle blast to help hold down the upward kick. They were loaded with 60-shot drums, and the springs of those drums were often weak and failed to feed. A certain percentage of the very ancient ammunition failed to fire, and one had to know the trick of recocking rapidly to keep the gun shooting on automatic. Johnny knew these things, for he had fired a lot of practice rounds with them when Angus had first dug them out of the old camion, where they had lain through the ages, protected by heavy grease and airtight ammunition packaging. But did the Brigantes? Probably they had fired a few rounds with them, the first firing of powder missile weapons they had ever done in their lives. The improbable and rapidly discarded ploy had occurred to him to talk to them about the weapon, and then take one to explain a fine point and blow their foul, matted heads off. Unless he thought of something, this was going to be his last ride. It was in Lars's manner. It was in the looks the Brigantes gave him. They were very, very confident. The compound appeared in the distance ahead of them. There was some stock scattered about in the plains. Lars narrowly avoided a group of buffalo, dodged a scrub tree, nearly dumped them in a gully, jolted them over some boulders anyone who could drive would have avoided, and finally halted about 100 feet short of the beginning of the rise that ended in the plateau near the cage.